Welcome to Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. Discussions on gear, technique, industry news, and interviews with the best in the business. Now, here are your hosts, Rich Baum and Brian Berkowitz.
Hello, and welcome to Shooting Spaces. I'm Brian from New York.
And this is Rich Baum from Sacramento, California. And I want to say hi, Brian. I haven't talked to you in about a week. I'm really enjoying these conversations and getting together with you for these podcasts. I'm overwhelmed by the response and the positive thumbs up response we're getting for these podcasts.
Yeah, it's been great. And I love it. And I love just chatting with you and all these great interviews we get to chat with. And like you said, all the feedback we've been getting from everyone is great. Everyone has been telling us how they use us on the drive to shoot, which is perfect for us, since that's when I listen to podcasts. And that was our goal here, is, you know, to fill that void of time when people are driving from location to location. So we're glad we're there for everyone and happy to help.
Yeah. And I really feel, I'm glad that other people feel the same way as I do, that I was missing a quote unquote real estate photography podcast, because, you know, we're such geeks in the real estate photography world, and that this pertinency, if that's even a word, just people are also interested and found the void. So, you know, it's great to be not only providing a service, but just doing something that people really enjoy and is educational. You know, so.
No, for sure. And there's so much to discuss. You know, we have all ideas we had on our own, and we get so many different ideas from other people that have been emailing us and messaging us on Facebook and what have you. So there's so many different places we can go from where we already are.
And how great to be able to interview. I mean, we've been doing pretty good, had some pretty good people coming on, and we got a few people that we've already interviewed in the can. But I think that what a great opportunity to just have reach out to some really incredible people, not only just specifically real estate photographers, but we're going to be interviewing all these top professionals in the photography world. And, you know, I think that even though we're a real estate photography podcast, I think we've got a great opportunity to talk about photography in general, because, you know, many areas overlap, you know?
No, for sure. We have a lot of great things coming up. You know, as I mentioned to you the other day, Rich, we have a guy who I'm pretty close with out here in New York who is a Sony ambassador now. He gets flown all over the world to shoot for Sony. And he made a career for himself just off social media. And, you know, I spoke to him and he's going to come on with us in a few weeks just to talk about how social media can be an outlet for people to grow their business. So there's so many, you know, and he's not a real estate photographer. So there's so many different ways we can go with different people. And, you know, we had the SEO podcast last week with my brother, and just, you know, not necessarily photography related, but just, you know, help with marketing from the business side of things.
Oh, yeah. And I'm really interested to get feedback from people regarding the SEO or the search engine optimization podcast we did, because it's really an overlooked thing. I mean, people are, at least in the groups and people I talk to, they're just so interested in equipment and techniques. But, you know, the business side of it, and that's a really tricky end of it, is always the business side of it. But search engine optimization, I mean, it's so key and so important, and it's so overlooked, as you had mentioned. You know, it's great to have your brother in. And man, you're like a tour de force. You're a great photographer, and he's a great SEO guy. You could, you know, start your own businesses.
Hey, we should. We had a business together a couple of years back, and it didn't work out. But
well, you know, you guys don't get along really well. I know.
But yeah, I definitely agree. It's so important to your business, and it's often overlooked. I mean, literally, that's how I started my business. You know, you always make your calls and call people and call the agents you know locally, but I started my business on the heels of getting myself out there on Google and just having these customers call me. You know, I'm shooting, today's Wednesday, I'm shooting two properties this weekend for homeowners directly who found me on Google, not even for agents, who just called me up and they said, I found you on the internet. You know, I'm selling my home. I want you to come take shots for me. Yeah. So there's definitely value in getting yourself out there.
Well, I certainly want to touch upon in the future more business oriented, because it's something I really don't do on my YouTube channel, and I don't really do in much of the cases as a business, because pricing and business, it's so unique to where you're at, you know, what you can charge, you know, how good you are, what your clients are, blah, 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 what your market is. But it's also, though, the SEO, it's almost irrelevant. Everybody can learn and deal with the same information for SEO. You know, it's just...
Sure. You know, every region has their own ways for you to market, but there are some tactics that anybody can take, no matter where they're located, to get themselves out there to agents, whether online, whether cold calling, whether sending mailers. There's just tons of ways to do it that are universal to everybody.
Yeah. Well, with all we've just been talking about, I want to bring up a new subject. Here's a little feature that we have on our, Shooting Spaces podcast, and people haven't been taking advantage of it as much as I'd like. So I really want to make this podcast about, it's a feature we call Ask the Guys. And basically all it is you go on the website, theshootingspacespodcast.com, you go there, and at the top on the side and at the bottom, you'll see Ask Questions or Ask the Guys, and you click on that, and all you have to do is click on the record button, and you record your questions for you and I, for to have us bring out, and then we'll discuss the question in advance and come up with a podcast and put it out there. And you can ask any question you want. You know, we hope it's related to real estate photography, but this is a good opportunity for not only getting your question answered, but bringing a question out there for others that might also be interested in. And also, there's a good opportunity, you know, say, hi, who are you? You know, where you're from, what your website is, what you specialize in. You know, we keep it short and concise, and, you know, maybe keep it down to one question, or maybe, you know, maybe I don't even know if we're going to do two questions, but this little feature will let us do something we've wanted to do. Both you and I, Brian, have wanted to do, is to answer questions live on the, well, not live, but on the air. So we will be recording your question. You will be playing it on the podcast, and then we will be answering it, and you know, and hopefully this will add entertainment, add education, and will answer your questions. So with that said, I would like to play a question we've got from Tony in Sacramento. He's actually a guy I know. And what's Tony's last name? Tony Perrick?
Tony Perrick, yeah.
Tony Perrick. And actually, I know Tony Perrick pretty well. And he's a really great up-and-coming photographer. And he just puts out a great question. And I'm just going to leave it there and play the question for you. And afterwards, we'll answer it. So here you go.
This is Tony Perrick with PhotoPros Photography in Sacramento, California. Main question that I have is, how do you overcompensate with light when you got super bright lit rooms with large windows and lots of sunlight? This is a issue I run into a lot, and I seem to use my flashes and blast it, and I'm always adjusting shutter speed faster and faster. So just trying to figure out how would be the best way to achieve and reveal more detail when using flash in brightly lit natural sunlight rooms.
That's a great question. Thanks, Tony. I know that this is something that we all deal with, and there's a lot of ways to approach every challenge in every situation. And brightly lit, I mean, when the sun is nuking in and nuking the floor and the walls, or the rooms are super white and bright, yeah, I think there's a lot of ways to do it and a lot of ways to come off with a great image. And I'm just going to start off by asking you, what do you do, Brian, in a situation like this?
So in a situation like this, and this might not necessarily answer Tony's question directly, but the first thing I would do is look and see if I can actually get away with shooting this ambient or natural light. I always personally like the look of natural light better than flash. That's just, you know, a personal taste. And, you know, I try to shoot natural light if I can on almost every job. Well, not necessarily real estate, but on most of my design or architectural jobs specifically. But if you know, if I walk into a room with white walls and white furniture and the room is bright and bumping, I'll try to shoot a natural light if I can. typically that will mean I'll have to bracket either 5 or 7 shots. If it's really bright, I'll go 7 shots. So I have that nice variety of shots to choose from. And I will put it together manually in post. And I think that's the best way for me to, first of all, not have to worry, especially when you're on a real estate shoot, press for time in a rush, not have to try to figure out how to overpower the lights, is, you know, just get my exposure. And sometimes to get my exposure, if I'm not using a cam ranger at the time, I'll just literally use live view on the back of my monitor, on the camera, and, you know, just bracket 3 stops up, 3 stops down in the proper exposure and do it manually in post. And if there are spots in the, you know, in the scene where, you know, there's a lot of severe shadows, maybe I'll just use 1 speed light or a small little light just to kind of fill in some of the shadows and bring out a little of those shadows, bring them up and use it as an accent light. But in a situation like this, I would tend to try and use natural light if I could.
Well, let me ask you while we're on that subject, a lot of people do bracketing. Sure. And I know that I bracket, but I may bracket for a different reason than a lot of people. A lot of people are doing what I would call auto bracketing, where they may set their camera on a specific value, 1, 2, 3 stops, whatever, and then just, you know, hit 1 button and it just brackets. But me personally, I just I only do what I need. I learned a while ago that I'm not going to just take 10 brackets to have it. I'm going to use what I need. And I've always got a cam ranger so I can always see what I'm doing. But how do you bracket? Do you bracket manually, or do you have it set to a auto bracket settings?
No, with your camera? I typically manual bracket. I see the only reason to really auto bracket is if you're using an auto
HDR
process where you're using Photomatics or even Infuse, which I've used for a few years. That's how I started using.
Love Infuse compared to other things.
Oh, if you're going to go the HDR and combining bracketed roots, Infuse is 100% the way to go.
I would Infuse GUI.
Exactly. I would definitely not tell anybody to use Photomatics or anything like that if you do not want that HDR look. I think as far as using brackets and having the computer do it for you, automated, Infuse will give you the most natural results. And then from the results, which are usually pretty flat, you can kind of then adjust them as you want and kind of make a really good looking image. And, you know, I've done that before. I still do that now every so often if a client comes in and tells me, hey, here's a 2,500 square foot house. I need you to shoot this house in 20 minutes. That's all the homeowner's given us. I'll literally come in with a camera on a tripod, set my auto brackets and just go. And I'll be in and out in 20 minutes.
No lights whatsoever?
No lights whatsoever. Yeah. So on occasion, depending on a circumstance, I'll still do that now. And, you know, there are advantages to it. I can be in and out of a house in 20 minutes. And, you know, when I'm processing them, I set up the Infuse to run. It might take, you know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, but I come back and it takes me another 10 minutes just to fix everything up with a little contrast and saturation, and I'm good to go. The whole thing is an hour with shooting and editing, so it's not so bad. But those are only specific circumstances. But, you know, back to Tony's question, if I was in a situation like this, I would manual bracket. And like you said, I would get what I need. I don't need 7 or 10 shots, because all those mid-tone shots I'm probably not going to use. You know, I want to make sure that I have the window shot for outside. I want to make sure that any area with really, really deep shadows I have covered, any area with really extreme highlights I have covered, and then obviously a middle exposure, which I'll use as my, my base exposure and kind of work off there. And then, like I said, if I have a need for, you know, using a speed light for some fill light here and there, I'll just use those as added layers onto it and, you know, just mask that in where needed.
Great, great information. You know, I think that I know personally, when I'm doing more of a commercial photography, I will definitely bracket more, because I want to have, as I'm always telling people, I want to have everything I need. I want all my ammunition. So when I get home, I'm covered. So I bracket my ambient shots. I bracket my flash shots. So when I get home, I can go through everything. And worst case scenario, I can fix it in Photoshop.
Sure, it's never hurts to have more shots and more backups and more things to work with when you're editing to have the final result. But I think as far as technique, you know, there's so many different ways to achieve everything, but that's how I would approach something like this.
Interesting. Great. Well, I may have interpreted the question differently. That's the only, I guess the only disadvantage to this, ask the guys is, or maybe an advantage. We can interpret it the way we interpret it. And since people know that I am very scatterbrained, I might not be listening to the question properly. I apologize, Tony. But from what I will say about what I think part of that question was, is, you know, when we all get in situations which are really tricky, and one of the most tricky situations, and I know that this is one of the most asked questions I get in my YouTube channel, is how do you deal with, like, tons of light streaming in a window? Let's just say you're shooting in the afternoon sun and it's coming directly in, and there is this huge dynamic range, you know, the difference, and for, you know, most people know this, but the dynamic range is basically the range from dark to light. And as we all know, our eyes are amazing. What do we see, like 23 stops or something? And cameras can't capture that. So I think that we're going to have to do something, you know, whereas you might be doing ambient, I would approach this more with power, with flash. And it might be my shortcoming, and that's, I'm definitely open to that. But what I would do is absolutely try and cover my bases. But if I've got a lot of sun streaming in a window, there's one trick that, and I totally use this as call it a trick, and a lot of people can really, really think of this, is if you're looking at a situation and it's, or a challenge, a problem like that, sunlight streaming in, first of all, you may have a window that has drapes, shears, blinds, whatever. You can even, a lot of, when you get on bigger shoots, you may use a thing called a scrim, which will be something you put in front of the window to either cut down the light or completely block the light out. So you can either use drapes, and what you can do is shoot the room with the windows closed, with the drapes closed, and you can then have that exposure and that set of images. So you can use it for the floor, the walls, everything. And the only thing then you've got to worry about is to shoot the window. So then you, obviously we're on a tripod and we're not moving anything as the way we shoot, because we're going to be masking all this in Photoshop. But I think then you open the windows and you shoot it for the view, the window frame, and you use that set of images. And then when you get home, you process the image as you would like, either with the window opened or the window closed first, and then you just mask in the window, and voila, you have the best of both worlds. Now, that is a little bit time consuming, especially when you're just learning, because a lot of this kind of trickery or Photoshop or masking is really challenging, not only to figure it out when you're starting out, and very, very intimidating, I think, for newer photographers. But once you grasp your mind around how you're doing it, and you go, oh, I need this shot, and I need this shot, and I need this shot, it goes very quickly, and you can get all your brackets quickly. You can get your, you know, you got to take the time to go open up the shades, close the shades, you know, so that does take extra time, but it will get your effect that you need. And now, If I hope people understood that, because what I'm going to do is I will make a video coming up in the very near future that will be dealing with this exact situation and talking about how we shoot it with the windows closed, the windows opened, or the view closed, the views open, and then incorporating it together. But another way to deal with this, and it was really an interesting way I came about it, is a lot of people wonder, well, what do you do as far as when you've got shine on a wooden floor? It could be even a carpet. It could be anything. And you got this terribly bright area and you don't know what to do. And you could even be maxed out at your max shutter speed. And you could be maxed out, you know, you have to even bring your ISO. I normally shoot at ISO 400. You may even bring down your ISO down to 100 or your minimum, and you're still blown out. So what I found is I was doing window pull and darken mode. As always, I thank Wayne Capelli for teaching teaching Peter Lyons for teaching, and then Peter Lyons for teaching me. But that's who really started the technique, in my opinion. And when you're pointing your flash directly at the window, so you're exposing the view, and then you are overexposing the window frame or anything in front of the window. I found, though, when I was masking in the darken mode, the window pull, that, boy, if I pointed that flash directly at the window, it will also totally overpower the floor shine. And so you can do one of two things. You can point a flash. You know, you do all your shots normally, as normal, and then you just do a shot. You're pointing the flash directly at a window, and you are then going to use that for not only the window, but you can use it just for the floor, and it works great. And it's until you see this in action, which I'll include in the video, it's really hard to comprehend, but it works great. And the other way that I tell people,
so is your concept there, Rich, that since you're exposing for outside, the exposure should typically be the same on the floor from the reflection?
No.
So you're getting all that detail back?
Not really. It was really, I found this out by accident because I did it for the window, but I noticed that I could also use it for the floor. So it would definitely possibly work for exactly at the same exposure for the floor, but I don't want to say if you were going to do it just for the floor, I would say you want to make sure that you expose directly. You know, you're using the right amount of power, the right exposure just for the floor. So basically what we're doing is breaking up an image into various parts. You're doing the overall room. You're doing the window. You're doing the floor. You're doing the window pull. You know, and you just, and it comes from experience and doing it over and over and over again, that you can really look at your shots. And just as you're setting up your comp, you're going, well, I'm going to need this shot, this shot, this shot, and this shot. And then that's when it becomes very mechanical and fast to get it done, because you know exactly what you need in editing from experience. So then you're able to do it. So I would say to really try and practice, and also practice, and this can be done anytime, but practice to see how you can point your flash to get that result where your floor is not blown out. And the thing I wanted to say was the other way to do it is you can take light on a stick. Now, if you are remotely tethered, that's part of the reason I always do remote tethering, CamRanger or my Sony app, is I can walk into the shot, I can put a light, and I could bounce it right off the ceiling, right above the glare in the floor. But I'm off to the side, and my light is on a stick, is on either a tripod or, I mean, some kind of a stick or a monopod or something. And it is then the light coming down directly is overpowering the floor. So there are, you know, there's so many different ways to do everything. But just to give you an example, those are a few of the ways that I would deal with just overpowering sunlight coming in. You break your image into various parts. And that's how I would.
All right. Yeah. So based on your methods, I think it's a given that having a black cloth or piece of duvetine in your gear bag is essential for everybody.
Well, we didn't even talk about that. And I did say that was a way of dealing with it. So going on that tangent, I think that if you did have the time, because that's probably the biggest part of it, you almost have to have an assistant sometimes, or have a little extra time than on a real estate shoot. But if you can, you can get, I've got an 8x4 little fold up reflector that is black on one side and white on the other side. And I could put that right up against the window. But a lot of times you could have just somebody hold it. You can even have your real estate agent hold it. I don't know about you, but I've had real estate agents hold crazy things to help
me
with
shots.
I've
had to hold my jacket up to block reflection.
Well, we all have done different tricks. So, you know, if you had more luxury of time, you could even, when I was working in the movie industry, and I know that people like Mike Kelly and Scott Hargis and all the, you know, a lot of really high-end photographers, they will have their assistant go outside and build a 20 by 20, 20 foot by 20 foot scrim and put it against the wall so they're not cutting all the light out, but they're diffusing the light and they're making it more manageable. In the film industry, we used to use a thing called gel. They would take this this filament in rolls and they would put it onto all the windows to drop the window by one or two, three stops. So whatever you got to do, whatever works. But for real estate, you got to get creative because you got to be fast.
Exactly. I don't know. These methods are great if you have a higher end shoot, but for your typical in and out real estate shoot, these might be a little much or a little too time consuming.
No, I'll in the video, I'll show everybody how you can do it and just point the flash at the wall and or the floor, and it's just going to overpower it. And you just got to remember, set your mind into thinking that you're just using various parts for the whole. You know, you're just having one shot just for the floor where you're getting that glare. So, and once you do that, once you've grasped the concept, it's really actually easy and very quick. I think all of this is, once you figure it out, is
sure.
pretty quick
and I think you're onto something with that point where if you're going to take a shot just for the floor exposure and make sure that reflection really comes out in detail, you don't have to worry about everything else and you know, the couch and this and that. Just make sure that if you know this shot is going to be used to mask the floor back in, make sure just that floor that you need looks the way you need it to do. And don't worry about anything else.
Exactly. How many times you had a real estate agent go to you, why are you in the middle of, why are you in the middle of the yes. room while you're shooting? And it's hard to explain to them, or you could just say, well, just yeah, trust me.
That, or they think because you're in the frame that you're not shooting. So they walk in and start talking to you too. So.
Exactly. Well, that happens because they'll see the lights go off and they'll come right in. And I'm always telling my clients, I mean, that's a whole nother podcast topic, but how to deal with your agents and how to notify your clients and your homeowners how you shoot, because so they won't interrupt an image and just frustrate you to heck. So,
all right, nice. So that was an excellent first question for our Ask the Guys episode.
Well, Tony, I hope that answered your question. And because we're friends, I'm sure you'll let me know. But I think between your answer, Brian, and my answer, I think we've covered some opportunities.
Two different approaches. And I think either of them could work in any given scenario. So
I just want to tell people, remind people, please really check out and use the Ask the Guys topics. I mean, Brian, I you'd want nothing more than to answer questions.
I know,
right?
We started this feature when we were originally talking, Rich, about getting this whole thing in order. You were telling me how many questions you get from people based off your YouTube channel.
Oh my God.
And you know, obviously you can't answer everyone, but you get tons of questions, you know, here and there, and people wanted you to release videos on different topics. So we said, if you're getting that many questions, why don't we make this platform an opportunity to get some of those answered? And that's why we started this. So it's there for you.
Oh, I mean, I get questions literally, it blows my mind. I get questions from around the world. I get Eastern Bloc countries. I got one guy, I mean, a lot of people from South Africa, Australia, you know, we're all doing the same thing. And there are just so many questions. And I still want to tell people, when you're in the groups, use the darn search function. Because I guarantee your question's been answered before. But I will say, this is something that it's a add-on feature for our podcast. And I think it's going to be really valuable and entertaining. So I hope so. And I look forward to everybody's feedback on this. You know, is it a good idea? And see.
And I think, you know, when you're speaking of the Facebook groups, I think this is more advantageous to people than using the Facebook groups as a platform to ask your question, because although you probably will get obviously more answers with people, you know, on Facebook or on the groups they're answering you, people are going to give you one line or two line answers, and you're not going to get an in-depth look into what you're looking for. So, you know, if you ask a question and we go on about it for 20 minutes or a half hour, you're getting as in-depth as you can, as opposed to, you know, well, this is what I do, thank you, bye. This is what I do, thank you, bye. So you get a little bit more in-depth as far as what you're looking for.
Yeah, and another resource for asking questions or searching for questions is the PFRE, the Photography for Real Estate blog, and the you know, Larry Lorman. We can ask Larry questions, but you can also search the PFRE Flickr group. And I'll tell you, it's a wealth of information for people. So you got questions, you can find them out there. It's just, I mean, how great is the internet, huh?
Exactly. And if people are curious as to how to access that group, make sure to listen back to our Larry podcast from a couple of weeks ago, and they'll be able to, you know, find out about his blog, you know, where everything he posts is and how he goes about his business and how he gets all your questions answered as well.
What a guy, Larry Lorman. I mean, he's been in the trenches for 20 years. I mean, it just blows my mind where this this whole thing is gone, because I was on PFRE in 2007, I think. That's 2006 when I started. And I lurked for a long time because I was sure intimidated. But also, I don't want people to feel intimidated. I think that you got to get out there and really ask your questions and don't be shy. So do that Ask the Guys feature and we'll be answering your questions on the air.
I think that about wraps it up for today.
I think absolutely. And I want to thank everybody for stopping by for our podcast. And again, subscribe, you know, thumbs up.
Give some reviews.
Reviews, yeah. And how has it been going, by the way? How long have we been doing this show now?
Like we've been live about 2 weeks now.
2 weeks. And I think we're doing great, man. How many listens did we get to Nathan Cool? A couple of like 500 or something?
Nathan, it's around there. Let me see. I can look up the stats. But, you know, we're averaging at this point, I think, about 200 listens a day, which is incredible. We wouldn't have thought we would be here 2.5 weeks in.
No way.
Yeah. We definitely thank everybody. And the numbers are going up. So it's just getting better and better. So hopefully, you know, it just keeps going like this.
Yeah, and you can ask the guys for a topic that you want to do a whole podcast on. I mean, it's where this whole thing goes is just, it's a work in progress. I think you and I, Brian and I are just learning to knowing each other. And I think it's a great idea that, you know, California and New York, you can't get further away than that in the U.S. And it's a work in progress, and the podcast will get better, more informative, and, you know, have on... Just the wealth of stuff that we can talk about is fantastic. But, you know, please feel free as our audience to let us know what you want to talk about. Send us questions and you know.
Sure. Whatever. And if you have any ideas for guests also, let us know. We will do our best to lock them down and see what we can do as far as getting people on the podcast with us.
Sounds great. Take us out, Brian.
All right. Everyone, as Rich just said, subscribe, leave some reviews, and until next time.
Okay, see you guys later.
This has been Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. Subscribe to the show and don't forget to leave us a review. You can also follow Rich and Brian on social media and at their website, shootingspacespodcast.com.